I like to express my gratefulness to all of my friends who organized these few public talks and 10-day retreat. Lay meditators and lay people is meditating. Both are new tendency in this modern world. If you look back, if you go back to 20 or 30 years, you can't find or very hardly find a lay meditator. People think meditation is only for monks and nuns who live in forest, in the monasteries. So normally we don't meditate and we don't have to meditate, we think. We only we have to do some rituals to wish a good life, to see future Buddha. So I am very happy to see this large number of lay meditators who are willing to practice meditation, who are willing to walk in this spiritual path. As a person who lives in a meditation center, and as a person who meets many, many meditators from all over the world, I can share my knowledge and experiences with you why meditation is becoming more and more popular in this lay society in this modern time. Why you and me are interesting to follow this path. There are few reasons. First reason that I am going to share with you now. When we go and see a doctor, a medical doctor, and to get some treatments for our physical sicknesses, you can get the treatment, or they are advising us to practice meditation as a treatment. Now meditation is a medicine in doctor's prescription. There are many illnesses and sicknesses, there is no medicine to completely recover, like cancer, diabetic, heart troubles. There are so many sicknesses that medicine can't heal it. So doctors ask them to meditate, and many people are coming from different places, locals as well as foreigners, to our meditation center to practice meditation because of this reason. One of my friend is a meditation teacher in States. He told me that you don't have to pay full amount of your health insurance in America if you can prove that you are a meditator. So that's the very, very famous reason in everywhere, all over the world, to popular meditation, yoga, or whatever spiritual exercises. Second reason is, now we are becoming more and more restlessness. We are not relaxed and calm anymore. Our whole human society is mentally sick as well as physical. We don't have time to relax. We don't have time to have a rest. Always we are running from here to there, from there to somewhere else. Nobody knows where are we going, but always we are working. We are thinking. We are planning. Therefore, we are becoming more and more stressed, more and more restlessness. Mentally, we are tired. So we are losing our inner peace. We are losing our inner clarity and calmness in our daily life. Therefore, we need a special place and special time to calm down our mind, to experience peace and relax ourselves. Therefore, we are going to meditation centers and we try to spend some time like weekends or some holidays in spiritual places to settle down ourselves, to go back to our daily life, to continue our run. There are some other reasons to popular this meditation, but I don't want to waste your time to discuss those things now. But if you are interested, you can ask, we can discuss about it during the discussion time. So now you can see meditation in lay society, in schools, in government offices and private institutes, in high schools and universities, hospitals and prisons, everywhere. Now meditation sessions, meditation classes, meditation courses, because of those reasons. So in a way we are lucky to find a person who can teach us meditation. We are very fortunate to have books now, because there are plenty of spiritual books in this modern world because of those reasons. So we can get many spiritual support and helps. But still, there is a strong attitude about meditation or about spiritual practice. What is it? Like meditation or spiritual life and our daily life, or spiritual life and lay life, both are not going together. There are huge gap or big differences between lay life and spiritual life. Therefore, I met many people who are interested to practice meditation and who speaks about the benefit of meditation, who writes books about the results of spiritual practice. So I met them. They are totally agree with me about the value of meditation, but they don't practice because they think they can't practice meditation or they can't practice spiritual path in their lay life, in as a householder, as a person who has many lay responsibilities. So they always promise me that they will practice meditation in one day when they are getting retired from their all responsibilities. So I try to explain to them that meditation is like your breath. You need your breathing all the time. While you are working, while you are thinking, while you are talking, while you are resting, even while you are sleeping, you need breath. So meditation or spiritual practice is like that. You don't have to find a special place or special time for meditation. If you can find, you are so lucky. But if you can't find a place or time, that doesn't mean you are not available to practice. Still you can practice. That's the beauty of the Buddhism. Because when you go to Buddha's time, you can meet so many lay people who get benefit of meditation, who get benefit out of the Buddhism. Buddha never asked everybody to become a monk and go to forest. Buddha emphasized always to practice meditation just as you are. If you want to go anywhere, you have to start from wherever you are. So we can start meditation, we can start the spiritual journey from wherever we are. That's the beauty of this Buddhist meditation. You can start your meditation just as you are. You don't have to change your job, you don't have to change your place where you live, and you don't have to change anything. You can simply start to awake yourself into your life. If you see your daily life or your lay life and spiritual life in a different way, as an opposite path, always you will have conflicts. I know many people who create this gap between their normal life, their lay life, and their spiritual life. They have big complications in their meditation practice and in their daily life. My teacher Godwin, our teacher Godwin, likes very much this Sufi story that I am going to share with you. He always tells this story. Two Sufi friends met in the street, middle of the street, and one asked, "Where are you going?" And next friend replied, "I am going to a meditation center to meditate." Then he asked, "Where are you going?" The first person answers, "I am going to a club." Okay, so both of them wish each other and continue their journey. One went to the meditation center and sit for the meditation. Another person went to a club and start to drink and sing and dance. So one who goes to the club, while he is drinking liquor and while he is dancing, he thought, "What I am doing now? I am doing all the bad and negative things which our masters, they don't allow us to do it. So definitely I am going to hell after this life." But my friend, now he is in that meditation center, in that meditation hall, and he sits quietly, so his mind is so calm, not like my mind, and he can reach the God. He will very close to the God. So he depressed while he dances. He is not happy, he is disappointed while he is singing and drinking. Another person who went to the meditation center and who sit quietly and he tries to concentrate. But as all of us know, that to sit hours and hours is not an easy task. And to concentrate is also not an easy thing. So mind wants to go everywhere when we try to concentrate. And when we try to sit quietly in one posture, body says many, many things to do, stand, change your posture, so many complaints. So he has those struggles. He can't concentrate fully and he can't sit quietly. So he has strong fight against his body and mind. While he is fighting, so this is another reason that I want to discuss with you. Meditation is not a fight. Most of people think that meditation is a fight against their physical and psychological needs. Therefore, people start to fight against themselves. So we are losing peace by practicing meditation in this way. No peace in his mind and no comfort in his body. Then he thinks, what I am doing? I am doing nothing. I am just suffering. But my friend who went to the club, now he may enjoy so much. He may enjoy his drinks, his dance, so and so. Just I am suffering. So both of them are suffering. And both of them thinks other person is enjoying very much. But nobody enjoy. This is very, very interesting story. One person thinks other person is spiritual. But that meditator, he has all the worldly thoughts while he meditates. That's the reality. There is no spiritual, or we can't say this thought is spiritual and that thought is worldly. Just thoughts are there, just feelings are there, and just sensations are there. There is no spiritual. We can't put that label, this is spiritual. It is something else. So, if you think spirituality is, we can see it in some special places, we can't meet it, we can't see it. It's always with us. So, as a lay person, you can experience spirituality within yourself. That is the meditation. To see ourselves deeply, to experience spirituality. I used to go to town once a week for some meditation programs in different places from Nilambe Meditation Center. So when I was in town, I met a teenage boy. I know him well. I speak with him and I ask him, why you don't come to Nilambe to practice meditation? Then he said, no, I don't want to come. I feel big resistance towards me and towards the meditation. So I was thinking, why? What is the reason? Because I didn't do anything wrong things to him. So I asked, why you have such a strong resistance towards me and towards meditation? His reply was, his father is a meditator. I asked, why? He said, his father is so lovely person. And his father is caring his family very well. So they are waiting for his father's return from his office. Then he start to meditate half an hour. But during his meditation period, he is the most dangerous person. So when he meditates, son and mother not staying inside the house. They have to come outside and stay quietly. Because whatever noise they create, father is getting so much anger and react very strongly. But normally he is so innocent person. So the son and mother has very strong resistance towards meditation and meditators. Because of this example. But that's not the meditation. But we create this gap. And we see when we meditate and when we are not meditate, a big difference. When we meditate, we are not allowing any noise. We are not allowing anybody to walk around us. But when we are not meditating, we can accept everything. So that is very, very wrong attitude towards Buddhist meditation. One of my friends, he was a monk, and he told me this beautiful story Once he went to a house for almsgiving. After the almsgiving, he asked from that mother in that house, why you don't come to temple? Why you are not coming to temple? Why you don't go to any meditation center? Why you always stay in this home? You are so worldly person. Why you are not practicing anything spiritual? Then that mother was replying, my temple is my kitchen and my meditation center too. And she explained this. As an Asian mother, I would like to say as a Sri Lankan mother, they have to stay most of the time in the kitchen. I think it's not happening here in Hong Kong, because I saw all the people are eating in the restaurant. She told that she has to stay, or she has to live in the kitchen from early morning to late night, not because of herself, because of her husband, because of her children, and because of her husband's friends, and because of her children's friends. So normally our mothers are getting tired very easily. But she said she is not tired anymore, because whenever she goes to the kitchen, she has this idea, I am going to my temple. I am preparing dana or alms to others, not for me. Whenever she is boiling water for tea, she thinks, oh, I am offering dana to my husband, to my children, to unknown people. So she said she doesn't want to go to temple for earning merits. She can earn merits with high interest. As a mother in her small kitchen. Also, her meditation center is a kitchen. When she cooks, she said she tried to concentrate to whatever she is doing. She is not thinking about others. She is not thinking about neighbors. She just tried to do things mindfully. So she can practice meditation while she is cooking. And when she cooked, or whenever she prepared cup of tea or whatever, she cooked or preparing food with love, with friendliness, with loving kindness, with metta. So she is practicing metta or loving kindness meditation while she is cooking to own family members and to unknown people. So no space for the tiredness. And she knows that they are coming to home with hungry tummy and strong thirsty. So they can feel that others suffering, physical and psychological. So she has opportunity to practice compassion while she is preparing food in her kitchen, in her small meditation place. And when others solve their physical and psychological problems by having her food and drinks, she can feel others' happiness, joy. So she is practicing rejoice, mudita. Finally, if food is okay, if food is so tasty, nobody appreciate it. Nobody say thanks in Sri Lanka, no, in our home. Just eat and go. But if food is not so good, then complaining, criticizing. So both result. No appreciations, only complaints. So she's practicing equanimity. These four qualities are very, very important. Always Lord Buddha ask us to practice as a meditation. We call four sublime abundance, metta, karuna, mudita, upeksha, unlimited friendliness, and sensitive to others, physical and psychological pains and needs. Third thing is when others happy, practice to rejoice instead of being jealous. The fourth thing is equanimity, not expecting any appreciations. And if criticism comes, just accept it without rejecting. So these are the main and basic spiritual practices that everybody should practice. So she is practicing these four sublime abundance as a mother, as a chef, and as a householder in a small poor kitchen without going to any spiritual centers. She is so lucky. So you can have a religious life as a person who is doing worldly job. If you are thinking that you are serving to somebody else, if you are thinking that you are doing some good service to the society, that is the religious life. You don't have to go anywhere. And you can do whatever you are doing mindfully, with full attention. That's the basic of meditation. We call mindfulness sati or awareness. And you can develop your heart, very important qualities in your heart, by practicing these four qualities in your daily life. You don't have to go anywhere. So that's the beauty of this spiritual path. You can be a spiritual person as a lay person. So I am inviting you to be a spiritual person just as you are. That's the my message in this talk. So I am going to open this occasion or this session to discussion. You can ask questions or you can share your opinions and ideas now. Thank you very much.
What do you mean? My English is not so good. I'm sorry. She want to ask. It seems it's not. It is easy to understand what is the loving kindness. But the difficulty is how can we when I doing something and also accomplish with the loving kindness? Would you give some instruction or example?
Yes. Thank you very much for this question. And I am happy to know that you understand the concept, because it is not easy to understand this concept. Because we are thinking it's a very deep concept. Therefore, we can't see simple things. Loving kindness has few qualities. One quality is accepting. So Buddha gives a very beautiful example to understand about this loving kindness, quality of loving kindness. He told us to practice loving kindness in this way. As a mother who has a child, only child, how much love she is giving to that only one and only child. So you can imagine about motherhood life. We like to enjoy children, especially kids. It doesn't matter they are belongs to whom. Whenever we see kids, we like to play with them. We like to talk with them, but for how long? Only for a few minutes, no? When they start to cry, we give them back to the mother. whenever they are doing some dirty things, we give them back to mother. But mother doesn't say no. Mother can accept the beautiful side and also ugly side. Mother is not judging. That is the first quality of this loving kindness. Not to judge others. So you can practice loving kindness, so you can develop that quality of loving kindness by not to judge, without judging. If you judge, there is no loving kindness. And the second thing is, let mothers, they can forgive. The forgiveness is the second quality. That is very, very important thing. Learn to forgive others and learn to forgive themselves. If you are practicing metta or loving kindness, you have to learn to forgive others. This is the second quality. So, if we are practicing a non-judgmental mind and if we are learning to forgive others, then we can maintain our peace and joy. That's the benefit of metta, or that's the result of loving kindness. We are not hurting ourselves. If we are not hurting ourselves, we are not going to hurt others.
He is already speaking English.
Yeah, but I didn't follow. I'm sorry.
So it's celibacy.
Selfishness.
Advantages to meditation. Is celibacy is an advantage?
Celibacy.
Yes, being
to,
a single, yeah. I understand, yeah, yeah, because it's less complicated, but how about, let's say...
Well, there is no any objections to marry in Buddhism. There is no any rules or any conditions not to marry. You can marry or anybody can share their lives with their partners, but still you can practice Buddhism as a husband, as a wife, as a father, and as a mother. So you have a very large areas to practice Buddhism as a parent or as a householder or as a wife or as a husband. But if you want to become a monk or become a nun, then celibacy is very, very important. But if you don't want to become a monk, still you can practice celibacy as a lay person, but if anybody wants to marry, that's okay. That's totally okay. Still you can practice morality. Still you can practice mindfulness and metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha. There is no limitation or no difficulties. I know some people who are practicing Buddhism and who are practicing meditation very well as a husband and as a wife. So that's the difference between Buddhism and Hinduism. The concept of celibacy, it comes in Hindu religion because they said, if you love to any human being, then there is no space in your mind for the God or for the Brahma. Therefore, love to Brahma, love to God. Give your full attention and give your full amount of love to your Creator. And practice celibacy, then you can be oneness with God or with Brahma. So that is very Hindu concept. Buddhism is entirely different from this concept. But Buddhism always emphasizes to control our emotions, not harm to ourselves and not harm to others. Within that limitation, you can live as a lay person.
Just I want to ask the question is that in my daily life, sometimes I get angry. But when I get angry, and how can I use the method loving kindness to overcome this anger? And could you give me some practical example or method?
Thank you so much about this practical question. And you can be happy because you are getting anger sometimes, only sometimes. So first thing is, you know that you are, whenever you are angry, you know, you have that awareness. Be happy about that, because most of the time we don't have that type of alertness. Therefore, when the anger comes, we react with anger. Later on, we think of what we have done. So then we have guilty conflict. So that awareness is very important, to know there is anger. Without thinking, I am angry person. See in a different way, there is an anger. Instead thinking, I am an angry person, and see the difference. This is the first hint that I want to give. So if you are not owning anger, then easy to get rid of it. But if you hold it, this is my anger, then you can't let it go. So try to see in this way. And the second thing, so your question is how to practice loving kindness while you are experiencing anger. This is very, very important question. We are trying to do so many things to get rid of anger because we don't like it. We don't like anger. So we are angry towards our anger. Do you understand what I am? So, if you are not thinking you are an angry person, if you are not creating any resistance towards the anger that you are experiencing, that means there is some friendliness towards yourself and towards the anger. Try to practice metta or loving kindness with yourself and with whatever you are experiencing. If you are experiencing anger, try to practice friendliness with anger, to anger. If you are not identifying anger with yourself, that means you are not saying I am an angry person, then you can create some distance, some gap between yourself and anger. So anger is there, I am here. So some type of distance. And if you can say, okay, this is anger, that's okay, without expecting angerless person from yourself, that is not realistic. We can't expect an enlightened person from ourselves. So if you are not expecting perfect and enlightened person from yourself, then easy to practice self-love instead self-hatred. It doesn't mean that you are allowing to anger to dominate yourself, because you are not taking it seriously. You create some distance between yourself and the anger, so you can listen to it rather than becoming a victim of your own anger.
Right. Is it the same as we are feeling fear? Sometimes we are afraid and something bad will happen. Is it the same attitude towards fear or pain?
Well, you can give same medicine to fear, to all emotions, to all definements. You can apply same treatment, same technique. Because we have dislike towards the anger and we have fear to fear. We don't like to speak about fearful things because of fear. So we have to get rid of that, our reaction towards the fear. First, we have to open to the fear. If you want to overcome to fear, you have to open to the fear. We don't like to open to the fear because we have fear towards the fearful things, towards the fear. So try to be friendly with fear. When you are not experiencing fear, then try to think about fearful things. When you are calm, when you are strong, then try to think about it. And if fear comes, just observe the fear. Just know there is some fear. If no fear, then just know there is no fear. And try to think about fearful things. Try to imagine about fearful things in a safe environment. When you are safety, like after the meditation, or whenever you are happy and strong, then try to imagine those experiences and try to be familiar to those experiences. There is two ways for the fear to come to ourselves. One way is when some danger things happen. When we walk in the forest and suddenly we see a snake there, so we get afraid. This is something we are, fear is a reaction to some present experience, some dangerous experiences. That's the first way. And other way is, there is nothing to afraid, but our imagination can create fear. Are you understanding? There's no danger things, no disturbances to our security or safety, but our mind can project things and create fear. So if you are experiencing then that second type of fear, then it is totally psychological reaction. So you can overcome that fear by practicing what I suggested earlier. To be friendly, to be familiar with fear.
Happy state of mind. Happy state. When the mind is happy, not fear, not angry,
yeah.
Is it use the same method to deal with this mind? Or how can I do?
Well, if you want. I think there is nothing wrong, no, with happiness. I think you don't have to think in this way, because happiness is not a problem. It's not a problem. If you are not expecting happiness from each incident, if you are not expecting permanent happiness, then there is nothing wrong with happiness. Whenever you are happy, you can enjoy the happiness, you can enjoy the happiness. And whenever there is no happiness, you can enjoy the vacuum of happiness. So learn to practice this meditation. Rather than thinking happiness is something, there is something wrong. I know some meditators, They think happiness is in spiritual. But happiness is anti-spiritual things. I know you are not thinking in this way, but I like to I like to say some meditators come, they come to Nilambe and I ask, why are you coming here? What, why are you interested in meditation? I want to cry. I want to cry. I didn't cry since 2 years. So they think there is something wrong. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. But that's the nature of human mind. Human mind can create problems out of anything. Out of happiness, out of fear, out of anger. So you can see if there is happiness, yes, there is happiness. And if there is no happiness, you can practice equanimity. I think that's more than enough. No?
May I ask a question on expectation? Because we live and do our planning by relying on our expectation. But all our problems also arise from expectation. How can we draw a line, right expectation, wrong expectation? Or is it a wrong question to ask completely?
To be an expectationless person is an expectation. So, I don't see any problem in the expectations. The problem is our attitude or our view, our point of view about the expectations. So we have to correct our attitudes, not the expectations, to not to suffer because of expectations. There is few things that I would like to share with you within few minutes about this interesting topic. The first thing is, when we have expectation, we always expect about positive result. Yes, we don't see the opportunities is there to break down our expectation. So the first thing is better to open to both ends. All the relationships are remaining on expectations. If there is no expectation, no relationship. That's the reality. So that's okay. I know, I don't know here how it happens here, but in Sri Lanka, especially in love affairs, so in relationship between husband and wife, or boyfriend and girlfriend, or even parents and children, they expect many things from other party. Husband expect many things from wife, and wife expect from husband, parents expect from children, and children expect from parents, but they don't say what I am expecting from you. But they expect that others should fulfill my expectation. So how it happens? So nobody knows. And when it not happen, people blame to others. Oh, you don't care about me. Before our marriage, you did everything what I expect, but now you don't care. No, we have to speak openly our expectations, especially towards other people. This is very, very important. Then other people knows. And they can say, yes, I can do until this. I can't do it. then we can have some understanding. We can give up this expectation before it is rooting. So this is the second thing. Please discuss openly about your expectations. If you are having expectations towards other people,
he just listened for some months talking about the question. This relating to the view, something like that. But because in Buddhism, in Theravada Buddhism, Chinese and Mahayana Buddhism, and Tibetan Buddhism, they had a different view. So the view is different. So he just want you to explain something out related to this this way.
About my view. Well, if you want to see this thing in a different way, you can see Theravada, Mahayana, Zen, and Dzogchen, all are different things. It depends on your point of view. If you want to see all of these things in equal or in same way, you can see many similarities. So, even in Theravada Buddhism or even in Mahayana Buddhism, there are many differences. If you go to China or if you go to Japan or Korea or Taiwan, many differences. Taiwan Buddhism is entirely, not entirely, but different from other Mahayana countries. If you go to Thailand or Burma or Sri Lanka, you can see many differences within this Theravada frame. So there are differences, but mainly most of differences are very cultural. The essence is same. The aim is overcome to suffering, and the path is same, Eightfold Noble Path. So this label, Hinayana, Mahayana, small vehicle and large vehicle, no, big vehicle. Mahayana means lone vehicle or big vehicle. Yana means vehicle, Maha means big. And Hinayana or Theravada, Hinayana means small vehicle or micro vehicles. So, but still these all vehicles are going in the spiritual path. So you can take a small vehicle or big vehicle to go to Nibbana. You can meet everybody there.
I'm not sure whether I should ask this question, because last time when Godwin was here, he was very kind. He told me that he said it was very funny when he found that I'm not living in my body. So I was going to ask him again what he meant, but I never got a chance. So I just wanted to know if you know what he meant. I know it's out of context, so it's probably difficult for you to say what he really meant. So that's the other one.
He told you that you are not living with your body, or you asked him?
No, he told me.
He told you?
Without saying, we were just talking about other things, and
yeah.
He said, oh, this is very funny, I think you're not living with your body.
Okay, so where are you living?
Out of context now, maybe I said something that
yeah. Well,
Then well, George has to ask.
Yeah. So, if you are not thinking about your physical needs, basic physical needs, and if you think that your body is an enemy, then actually you create some kind of wall between yourself and your body. So I don't know whether you are doing this or not, but if I know some people, they create this type of in a gap or in a wall between themselves and their body, their mind. So that wall sometimes going to bigger than the Great China Wall. Yes, they can't see their body anymore. They can't feel their mind or their emotions anymore. And they think that's the spiritual way. But that is some kind of ignorance. So I don't know exactly what he feels, but if you are not experiencing your physical feelings, and if you are judging and neglecting your feelings, physical feelings like thirsty, or if when you are hungry, or when you are sleepy, when you are tired physically, you are not listening to these physical needs, and you are not going to give some love and compassion to your body, then we can say that you are not living in this body. So it has this meaning, and also it has some other meanings. So you are the only person who can know about it.
You said at the beginning that there are some other reasons for the lay people to practice meditation. What are these reasons?
Yes. So lay people, they have their own problems, like family problems. So monks and nuns, they don't have these type of conflicts in their life. So I know many people, lay people, they start to practice meditation because of their family problems, because of their own weaknesses, to overcome their own weaknesses, because of they want to accept others' weaknesses, how to deal with others' weaknesses, how to create a right dialogue between themselves. So this is the another reason that lay people comes to meditate. And next reason is there is new idea now. It is actually not new. Buddha told us if you meditate you can develop your wisdom, but with this all the modern technology and modern science, some scientists prove it. If you meditate you can develop your brain, you are intelligent. Now people come to meditation, they come to practice meditation to develop their memory, their understanding, knowledge, their intellectual capacity, so these type of things. And there are some more reasons, so how many reasons are you expecting? Some people come to meditate to get some psychic powers. And some people comes to meditate, they want to know about their previous lives. And some people wants to know about their next life. So, and other thing is, now psychiatric doctors suggested to some psychiatric patients to meditate, not everybody but some. So some psychiatric patients, they start to practice meditation to overcome their psychological certain situations. Thank you very much for stay here more than 2 hours listening to this talk, sharing your ideas. And thank you very much, dear friend, to do this hard work to correct my language, to correct my ideas. Thank you.